Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Lawrence is busy calling some IHSA state playoff basketball, so you're stuck with Joe Ostrowski, bringing you up to the Bulls and Clippers here on The Score until 9:15. So hang out, because we have a lot to cover, a lot going on. Sometimes you forget, and baseball goes away for a matter of months, and you kind of forget, oh yeah, even in the spring, with all the pitching changes, which is why they're trying to change a few things in baseball, if you haven't noticed over the last couple of days. Oh yeah, that's why. Oh, pace of play just drags and drags and drags. You get a high-scoring, three-and-a-half-hour game. But now we're here, and we're inside of 2 weeks from the start of real baseball for your Cubs and your White Sox. Phone lines, they're open if you want to check in. 312-644-6767. Want to get to a Cubs topic. Coming up at 7 o'clock, though, we'll check in on Clinton Dix. Rami Makhlouf, a regular on this show, will join me from Minneapolis, but he spent years covering the Packers. So we can also find out what's going on with the Vikings and the Brewers and also the Twins. Some people think that could be a little dark horse in the AL Central. Everybody handing the Indians the easy stroll to win that division. But some people think maybe the Twins can bounce back here. We'll talk about that coming up at 7 o'clock. At 7:40, we're going to go out to Vegas. I don't know if you've seen this. It's ridiculous. The money and the overreaction on the Cleveland Browns. Based on the money rolling in on Super Bowl bets, the public is telling the books. They're forcing them to move the money so far. They are saying that the Browns, with Freddie Kitchens as the head coach, suddenly a top five team in this league. Where's the money coming in the Cubs and White Sox? How do the Bears figure in? Whoa. Packers are better? Really? After a few free agency signings? We'll talk about that at 7:40. We head out to Vegas with bookmaker Dwayne Colucci. Hear that Jersey accent gets me excited. I just need to place a bet immediately. 8:40, Eli Herskovich from the Action Network, and 6:70, The Score. We'll talk college buckets. I attended part of the evening session at the Big Ten tournament last night. Had fun there. And yeah, and if you're not into college hoops or you just start to pay attention this weekend, yeah, now it's ramping up. Hello, Selection Sunday is here, and we're going to have a Selection Sunday show after the Bulls game coming up, and Eli is going to be co-hosting that. So we'll talk to him about some sleepers, some teams you need to write down a few times once we find out what the pairings are on Sunday evening. Always fun. Maybe you're scurrying to write teams down. Maybe people don't do that anymore because in minutes you're going to have the brackets available for you to print out or go to any website. And you have a few days. Make sure you get everything written down, you scratch it out a few times and figure out your champion, then it's completely blown up in day number one of the tournament. But that Thursday through Sunday, probably the four best days on the sports calendar. Joe Ostrowski with you. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. So the Cubs have multiple injuries out in the bullpen. And before they play a game, you could feel the tension in Cubs Nation. Not so much out in Mesa, Arizona, but yes, with Cubs fans. So that's a concern. You look at the depth chart, the lineup for the most part, that's set. This fighting for any jobs. It's just about guys fixing things, being healthy, having bounce back years. Wilson Contreras giving his all, as he admitted this week that he wasn't doing that a season ago. Completely stopped strength training. Completely. You know the rotation. They're veterans. hoping they don't slip too much, right? Don't regress too much, Cole Hamels, John Lester. Stay healthy, you Darvish. But you know the guys. And if there's an issue, you'll see Mike Montgomery slide in. So you run to the bullpen. Morrow's going to miss the first month. Now Pedro Strop is dealing with a hammy. People are panicking. You got to sign Craig Kimbrel. Got to sign him. Just saw him win a World Series. What? Are you guys paying attention to what's going on in this game and what's been happening for years and what the two sides, MLB and the PA, are negotiating right now? What they're hopefully going to fix. Pay the young guys. Don't pay the old guys. Don't pay for past performance. How many times does Theo Epstein have to say that? Oh, got to sign Kimbrel. Got to sign it. There's a hole on this team, and it's in the bullpen. Get your closer locked up. Morrow's not going to be here for the first month of the season. Must do that. Wait, why? You have your closer. And you have backup closers. Strope says he's going to be ready on opening day. He did just fine filling in a year ago. Look at his numbers. Consistently overlooked, but he's fine. And you have other options. Sure, they believe that CJ Edwards has the stuff. And at times he scares you because of his location. But really, he's your fourth or fifth option. If you have a bullpen with CJ Edwards as a fourth or fifth option, and even though you're paying the guy, you're not depending on Tyler Chatwood one iota, what's the problem? Let's see what you have. And what is tougher to project than bullpens? That's at the top of the list. So now I'm hearing age 31 season, pay him whatever it takes. That doesn't make any sense. You don't even know if this team's going to be a contender. Theo Epstein is listening and saying, yeah, we could be sellers in this division, certainly. So you're going to pay Kimbrel what for how long? I mean, the rumor out there, this is back in December, and I hope it's changed. Maybe it hasn't. Maybe that's the reason that this guy is still unsigned. But he was seeking 6 years and $100 million. What? No, thanks. Oh, pay a closer till he's 37 because he just won a World Series with Boston? Not happening. I would guess you're going to have to pay this guy a lot of money for at least 4 years. So why not see if you have something? The Cubs have shown they're fine with using a veteran closer for a year or two. Morrow, Wade Davis. If we're in the mix, is a closer the over-the-top move? Okay, well, we'll trade for Aroldis Chapman and keep him for a couple of months, and we'll win a ring from him and say, sayonara. But this overreaction, Strope is hurt. He might not be ready for the first game of the season. Come on. Stop. Bullpen is a concern. Of course. It's a concern for every team in baseball. You can't have enough arms. But I'm not paying this guy for 4 years or whatever it would take to land him when maybe you have your closer for this year. Maybe Morrow can stay healthy. And by the way, this isn't new. This is what bullpens do. Guys get hurt throughout the year. You're cycling guys from Iowa back and forth. That's what happens. Let's hear what Theo Epstein had to say yesterday when he was asked about the closer's role and the possibility of bringing in a Kimbrel.
That meeting, we actually not... We were talking more about just position players and other things, so shape of the roster. We weren't specifically talking about Penn, so that got a little bit misconstrued. But obviously, always looking to get better. I don't foresee anything significant at all at this time, though.
Yeah, why would you? You don't even know if you need it. Morrow Strope Cishek was fantastic last year. I mean, Joe just used him up out of necessity. And I was criticizing him at the time, and then at the end, he didn't have much left. Pretty predictable. CJ Edwards, and I didn't even get to Montgomery. So maybe Edwards is really like your fifth option, Kinsler's a bounce back candidate. Maybe he has a big season in the pen. We've seen it from him recently. I don't get it. If you're going to pay, why pay for a closer entering his 10th season? Let's see if this team is even in the mix. They have a lot of decisions to make on their position players too. Keep that in mind. So they need to see exactly what they have. And the difference with the NL Central now and why many people are saying this is the best division in baseball, I disagree with that. Because if it's the best division in baseball, tell me the championship teams. Where are they? It's deep. There aren't any buys. All those games with Cincinnati, you can't just stroll through and put one on the left side, right? That's not happening. But is there that championship team? I don't see it. Maybe the Cardinals are there. Maybe the Cubs end up getting there and they continue to add. And Wilson Contreras has a knockout season. Baez repeats what he did a year ago. Addison Russell, see what he is once he comes back from the suspension. Almora takes another step. Maybe Chris Bryant, a healthy Bryant, is back to being the old Bryant, the MVP caliber Bryant, maybe. But let's see if you have some of those pieces. Because without that offense, without that lineup, remember why they lost last year. Even though they won a whole lot of games. What was Theo's line? The offense is broken. And that was the big issue, and they got rid of all the coaches. Kimbrel doesn't make sense. Not now, not for this team. If you want to make a move in the middle of the year, if it makes sense, fine. That single trade deadline, they're going to have to make a final decision a little bit earlier. All right, we'll get back to the Cubs a little bit. Also, want to get into some of these rule changes that people are very upset about. Let's calm down. All right? We don't even know if some of this stuff is happening and people are freaking out because how dare you have any change in baseball? All right, we're going to go up to Minneapolis next. Rami Makhlouf has covered the Packers for a long time. We're going to get the details. What's going on with Clinton Dix? Why did the Packers sour on him so much over the last couple of seasons in Green Bay? And did the Bears' defense improve by going from Amos to Ha-Ha Clinton Dix? That's next. I'm Joe Ostrowski sitting in for Lawrence. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Packers with a nickel look. Allen downfield. Picked off. Intercepted by Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Bro, let me see that rock, man. I'm touching this ball. Good look. Feel for it.
Feel good?
Yeah, feel real good. The only way I'm going to see this ball is if I touch it now. The only way I'm going to see this is if I touch it. Don't go nowhere. Touch this brown boy. Come on, baby. Let me see you today, okay? I'm going to be nice to you, all right? Let's go. Let's make a play. I'll make it. Don't worry about it. I'll make it.
Joe Ostrowski hanging out with you on a Friday evening on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Thanks for hanging out. Lawrence busy with his IHSA duties. Follow me on Twitter, at Joe0670. Getting some texts rolling in, 67011. Hey, Joe, is this an early odds? Well, sort of, because you know I'm always going to mix in some sports gambling conversation, especially at 740 when I talk to a bookmaker about what's going on with these NFL bets that are rolling in. But if you don't know what he's referencing, or she, Early Odds, that is a sports betting show I host every Saturday morning on The Score at 8:30. So set the alarm on your phone. It's going to be out there tomorrow morning, 8:30. If you happen to miss it, you're busy. Of course, the podcast will be available on 670thescore.com, and I make sure to always tweet those links out. But tomorrow morning's episode, the tease is it's all MLB predictions, futures, all sorts of prop bets, Cy Young winners, MVP, overs, unders on Cubs and Sox players. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you check that out. But coming in, you heard the highlight from Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, brand new Bears safety at a bargain, by the way, 1 year, $3.5 million. And when I saw the Bears bringing Clinton Dix, I knew we had to check in with our guy, Rami Makhlouf. Follow him on Twitter at Rami is tweeting. So Rami is now covering sports in the Twin Cities up in Minnesota. So, Rami, I'm assuming Detroit is next. You're just going to go and cover every NFC North team?
Yeah, just touring the division, Joe. That's my career plan. That's how I map this whole thing out, just one NFC North city to another.
All right, so you have a unique perspective. I do want to squeeze in some Vikings conversation and
the weird signing
that happened earlier this week that you didn't think was going to happen. But as far as HaHa Clinton Dix goes, I mean, you watch these NFC North games every single week, so you got to see a bunch of Amos and Clinton Dix more so every single week. Did the Bears make an upgrade on their defense?
I don't think they did, Joe. And just to give the full picture of my perspective on this thing, I'm a Chicago native and a Chicago Bears fan. So I've sort of made a point, both professionally and personally, to pretty much watch every snap of the Bears and the Packers over the 13 years that I was covering the team previous to moving up here and covering the Twin Cities sports scene for Score North. So I've seen plenty of both of these guys, and let's get over the good real quick with HaHa Clinton Dix before I get into the bad. The guy is a hell of an athlete. There's no denying that. And he's got great instincts and very good hands. So when he's in the vicinity of the ball, he can make a play on it, and he's racked up some interception numbers. And that's why on paper, HaHa Clinton Dix looks pretty good. But the problem with HaHa Clinton Dix is that he's often, too often, not where he's supposed to be on the football field. He's not the most assignment sound guys. You'd see plenty of highlights of opposing teams and HaHa Clinton Dix off in the corner of your TV screen with his hands up in the air. Like, who was supposed to be on that? And if you watch the tape later, it would indicate that HaHa Clinton Dix was supposed to be on that. And he puts other DBs in bad situations when he does that, Joe. And on top of that, the effort has been inconsistent, especially over the last couple of years. And he's been a guy who's shied away from contact, and his tackling has suffered over the last couple of years as his game has declined. And I don't know why the guy's game would decline at this stage in his career. He's still pretty young, but there was definitely a drop-off in the last couple of years before Green Bay shipped him off to Washington, D.C.
Some of the stuff I read after the Packers traded him away, and it made perfect sense. Like this morning, Wayne Larrivee was on the station with David Haw and Luke Kanellis, and he did not like Clinton Dix at all. He made that clear. He made that crystal clear, and he said, well, there's a reason he's been on three teams in a matter of months. Well, the Packers were out of it, and they're just trying to get a draft pick because they knew Clinton Dix wasn't going to be back, and the Redskins were trying to bring him back to Washington. So I really don't think that that's a valid point at all. But some of the stuff I read after Clinton Dix moved on to Washington, after that deal, was too much arm tackling, and you hinted at this a moment ago, taking responsibility when there are issues on defense, and that he loathes contact. Now, I've also heard from people that he's been shying away from contact as a business decision. Is any of that fair?
That might be his thought process, Joe, and that might mean that you'll get the best version of HaHa Clinton Dix that you can get this year, because it's a one-year prove-it deal. But to be quite honest with you, even if HaHa Clinton Dix delivered in this one-year deal, I would be hesitant to sign him to a longer-term contract if I'm the Chicago Bears afterwards, because is he going to go back to making business decisions? I don't know if that's a guy that you want on your football team on anything more than a one-year contract. His first few years on the league, the arrow was pointing up, and he looked like he could be one of the better young safeties in this league, and I believe he even made a Pro Bowl in his second or third year in the league, and it looked like you had a real, real good safety and a guy who can make an impact for your defense for a long time. And then, yeah, maybe it was a business decision that he started shying away from contact and arm tackling more, but that says something about that guy to me, doesn't it to you, Joe?
Yeah, you don't want that. So is he going to repeat that again because he wants to stay healthy for his next stop in the NFL? Now, he said that he took less money to play with the Bears. You don't know if that's true. It just could be him
right,
trying to get Bears fans excited about the addition of him at the back end of this defense. Just so you know, Rami, and since you are a Bears fan, the reaction here has been great. He's better. They made an upgrade. And I've been hesitant to go there. I thought it was a lateral move, maybe, and you're giving me some pause here. But here's what's going to happen, Rami. is there's, in my mind, there isn't a way that this Bears defense repeats that performance from a year ago, and a lot of people are going to be blaming the changes. What changed? So the defensive coordinator changed. Clinton Dix, nickel, corner is also going to change here. But I don't know that it's going to be his fault going in just because of what they were able to accomplish. Is Kyle Fuller going to repeat 7 interceptions? Khalil right. Mack, 6 forced fumbles, 12 and a half sacks. Eddie Jackson, 5 defensive touchdowns over the last couple of years. I don't know that that is sustainable to happen for another year.
And besides just the changes in personnel and the change at defensive coordinator, Joe, I mean, there's a certain element of luck to football and some of the things that the Bears were yes. able to do last year, where, you know, the ball bounces a certain way or is deflected in a certain direction, and there happens to be a Bears player there to grab it, and it's usually Eddie Jackson running it back for a pick six. And who's to say that those balls land in those spots guys are in just the right place at just the right time next season. There's definitely an uncontrollable element of, you could call it luck, to a lot of things that the Bears did last year. That doesn't take anything away from what they've done. I think you can say that about most successful football teams and defenses that thrive on turnovers and scoring points for their team. So you don't know that those things are going to fall into place again, along with all the changes, and just the bar that was set was pretty high and would be hard for almost any defense to match. You would expect at least a small step back from the defense, especially with everything that's gone on with them this offseason.
Rami Makhlouf with me on Sports Radio 670, The Score. He covers Minnesota sports for Score North, but he spent many years covering the Packers in Milwaukee. So, Rami, what was your first thought when you saw Green Bay spending money like a drunken sailor?
I wasn't that surprised because it's a new regime up there, and they let go of their former general manager Ted Thompson, who was allergic to free agency during his tenure there, and was a guy who was almost strictly draft and developed. They literally, I could count on one hand the number of free agents that they signed, at least first wave free agents that they signed in Ted Thompson's time there. And you had to think that when they made that change, they wanted to make a change in the way that they operate and be a little bit more active in free agency and at least explore that avenue as a way to improve the football team. And so I wasn't that surprised that they were more active in free agency this year than they have been in the past. I assume that there was a change in course for the organization rather than just a change at the general manager position.
The dominoes across the league with the Anthony Barr situations, it's reported for days that he's going to the Jets. He returns to the Vikings. And if Barr signs with the Jets, that means they're probably not getting Le'Veon Bell.
Right, yeah. There were a lot of dominoes that fell with that. And it seems like he made that decision, and you almost never hear this in business in general, but in professional sports where the money that these guys make and the negotiations are more public than in your life or mine or the average listener, Joe. But he made a human decision rather than just a business decision. He really felt like Minnesota was home, and they had a culture of family in that Minnesota Vikings locker room and throughout the organization, which it sounds cliche, but you have to think that at least for him, there's something real about it. He said Monday when he agreed to be paid $17 million a year by the New York Jets and go live in the biggest market in the country, that it was the worst day of his life. And he felt physically ill. He was sweating and sick to his stomach over the thought of leaving the Minnesota Vikings. And so to the Vikings' credit, they kept in contact with his agent and got close enough that he said, you know what, a little bit less money for happiness and staying where I feel good about my situation and the organization is more important. And he was really open and honest. And you don't see the type of press conference that Anthony Barr held yesterday as often as maybe you'd like, where a guy was just open and honest and human and really put out there his thought process and the timeline of the whole crazy situation of him seemingly going to New York and then pulling an about face and coming back to the Minnesota Vikings.
How do you power rank the NFC North today?
I think it's still the Bears number one. I think the Packers are probably closer than what it might look like after the way that their season went last year. I think the last two seasons, we haven't seen Aaron Rodgers in true Aaron Rodgers form, part of that due to injuries, part of that due, I think, with his relationship with Mike McCarthy just breaking down and that offense suffering as a result. So I think that they're probably a close second, and it may be neck and neck between those two teams. And then the Vikings, I think, are in the picture and probably better than what that 8-7-1 record from last year indicates. I think there's plenty of room for improvement from within for the Vikings, both through guys who were hurt last year who you think should be better this year, and just guys who had uncharacteristically down seasons bouncing back this year. I think there is some room for improvement with the Vikings, despite them not being very active in free agency. And despite being very active in free agency, I still have the Lions in the basement of the NFC North because they're the Lions, Joe. And Matt Patricia is their head coach, and I don't have a lot of faith in that guy.
Hey, but they're continuing to bring in everybody that was in New England at one point, and they're hoping that it rubs off.
But that hasn't worked.
I mean, I know.
If you look around the league, it never works.
Keep doing it. Fine.
Yeah, for real. Enjoy. Take all the former Patriots you want.
Projecting the 2019 Bears, as I told you, I don't think that performance on defense is repeatable, but I'm not saying they're going to be an average defense. They still should be an excellent D, probably top five overall in this league, as long as they can stay relatively healthy. The difference being that they need Mitch Trubisky to take a huge leap forward. Is it the same with Minnesota and your quarterback and Kirk Cousins? Not yours, but your city's.
Yeah, and people are not really pleased with the season that they got from Kirk Cousins for $29 million a year, guaranteed for this guy on a three-year contract. But I think a little bit of the criticism that he took is unfair, Joe, because I really believe that the Vikings' thought process when they brought in Kirk Cousins was, we have an elite Super Bowl-level defense, and our offense is just this far away, as they got knocked out in the NFC Championship the previous year, to being good enough for our defense to carry us to a championship. And especially for the first 8 weeks of last season, that defense was not playing up to the level and the bar that they had set for the previous year or two. And that was really what was letting them down. And then when that defense finally did start looking like itself, that's when Kirk Cousins really took a turn for the worst. So he definitely deserves a share of the blame, as any quarterback does. But I think that price tag that's on him, and this is the case all the time, and guys got to know this when they sign a contract like that, that price tag also comes with a target when it comes to fan criticism after a season doesn't go the way that fans want it to go. Kirk Cousins is a guy who's good enough that if you put the right pieces around him and put him in the right situation, he can be a good enough quarterback for a Super Bowl team. But he's not a guy like an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady or a Pat Mahomes, and there's only a handful of those guys around the league who it seems like it doesn't really matter what's around them, or even if things break down, they're going to find a way to make things happen and put their football team in a good position. That's not Kirk Cousins. He's not that guy, but he is good enough that if he's put in the right situation and the right pieces around him, it'll be good enough. And it's going to be hard for them to add pieces around him because of the salary cap situation that they find themselves in this offseason. And that's partly due to the $29 million guarantee that he'll make next year.
Yeah, you got to pay for quarterbacks if you don't get them young. You draft a young quarterback, try to win in that window before you get Russell Wilson. I want to squeeze in some baseball before I cut you loose, Rami. Can the Twins win the AL Central?
I picked them to win the AL Central on my radio show today, as a matter of fact, Joe.
I don't think that's far-fetched. And everybody I hear, they're just locking in the Indians. This rotation, sure, there are a couple of young arms I really like in Bauer and Clevinger, but there are also a couple of older arms that are injured on a constant basis. And they have some prolific infielders with Ramirez and Lindor, but they still need to add some bats.
Yeah, I mean, you look around the diamond for the Indians, and I'm not impressed by what they put out there on a day-to-day basis with that lineup 1-9. I mean, they have three or four guys that scare you, and then a couple guys who you really don't know anything about, and then a few guys like Jason Kipnis, who you got to think with his age and a drop-off in production for the last season or two, the arrow is pointing down, and it's not going to get much better for him. While with the Twins, I'm looking at a team that while nothing is guaranteed, they have a lot of question marks on this team. But I think, again, I'm going to use the phrase I just used with the Vikings, and that's improvement from within. You got a couple of young guys who there were high expectations there, and there's obviously a lot of talent with Byron Buxton and Miguel Sano, and they have the potential for bounce-back seasons at second base. They picked up Jonathan Scope, who's been an all-star before, and last year had a tough season with an injury and then getting traded to the National League and losing his job almost immediately upon getting traded to that National League team. I think he's a candidate for a bounce-back. C.J. Cron, they got him from the Rays. This is a guy that hit almost 30 home runs last year for Tampa Bay. So they've got a lineup, and
there's so many free wins, man. In that division.
And then they added Nelson Cruz to it, who I think even at his advanced age, that guy can rake. So the offense, when you look around with the Twins, there's a lot of potential for guys to bounce back either from injuries or from underperforming seasons, and guys who just have the potential and have the age where you expect improvement from them. I think that the Twins have put themselves in a good position to at least compete with the Indians this season.
Rami, you guys are doing some great stuff on Score North. Not just saying that. I'll go on Twitter in the middle of the day, and at the very top, I see the Periscope. I see you guys sitting in studio. I'm quite jealous. I'm like, why can't we get that done?
Yeah, we're trying to serve everybody on all platforms up here, Joe. That was the plan that they sort of lured me up here with. I think it's pretty obviously the way that everything is going. So
sure.
We're streaming on Twitter, Facebook, we're on Twitch. I didn't even know Twitch was a thing, and now
I was talking to somebody in management the other day. I'm like, we need to get on Twitch. I don't know what it is, and I'm not a gamer, so I know people watch other people play games, but I know that some stations are getting on Twitch, and it's probably going to be the next thing.
I'm now on Twitch. It's Rami is twitching. It's my brand across all social media.
Yeah. Rami is gramming. I know the whole deal. Rami Makhlouf, Score North on Twitter, as he just said. Rami is tweeting. Thank you, Rami. Great insight. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Joe, always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Doesn't love HaHa Clinton Dix. He's a Bears fan. This isn't a guy just looking from the Vikings perspective, or rather looking from the Packers perspective. He spent a lot of time covering Green Bay. Most of his career. He's looking for Minnesota. I mean, that's the team he pays closest attention to, but he's a Bears fan. But he watched every Adrian Amos game and every HaHa Clinton Dix game of their careers. And he's saying the Bears downgraded. Not sure what you're going to get. The arm tackles, avoiding contact, lack of responsibility. But he was in Green Bay. Consistently one of the worst secondaries for a stretch of time, right? It was always Don Capers' fault. He was going to get fired every single year. Completely different situation, hopefully a winning situation. Is he a different player when he's surrounded by playmakers? His former college teammate, Nettie Jackson, one of the best pass rushers in the game, in Khalil Mack. Something to keep an eye on. And don't overlook sliding in Chuck Pagano for Vic Fangio. We'll see if that's an issue. But this is the league. Year to year, you have to change things. It's tough to bring back every single starter. You want to react? 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. In about 15 minutes, we'll head out to Vegas. But it's interesting what's going on with the Bears and what one positive season, for the most part, aside from the kicker, what one positive season will do for a fan base, just how different they react to every signing, everything that's done here with the Bears. Talk about that next. Joe Ostrowski in for Lawrence Holmes. You've got 670, the score.
On first down, play pass, pressure, Smith sees it near side, it's intercepted. HaHa Clinton Dix has number two on the year for him. It's almost like he ran the route.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field. This they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. Joe Ostrowski hanging with you on a Friday evening up until 9:15 right here on Sports Radio 670. The Score. Lawrence Holmes has some IHSA TV broadcasting duty, so I'm here with you. Phone lines are open if you want to react to our most recent guest, Rami Makhlouf, down on Clinton Dix. He's seen every down of this safety all his years in Green Bay. And he's saying the Bears got worse. 312-644-6767. Text messages 67011. A lot of people reacting during the interview with Rami about what he was saying. Just talking about, this is a great defense with a good player that will make him look great. Yeah, I said that right before the break. Let's see what he is surrounded by great talent. Pro Bowl safety, Pro Bowl corner, Pro Bowl pass rusher, Pro Bowl interior of the defensive line. Now let's see what he's going to look like on a one-year prove-it deal. Now the argument you can make on the other side is, well, how was he on that prove-it deal? It was the last year of his contract. Washington wanted him back, what they saw in a short period of time. But he says that he wanted to come to the Bears, and I'm going to take his word for it. We have to separate the conversations here. So the debate right now, did you get better? Status quo, or did you go down a little bit? You can't have this conversation without talking about the money. So when you enter the money, and then when you're just having the player conversation, those are two different deals. Like, the Bears should not have given Adrian Amos 4 years, $37 million. Because 1 year for $3.5 million, even if you think that the defense got a little bit worse, there's enough around the guy. He does have Pro Bowl pedigree. Can you get back to that level with some good coaching and great talent around him? I'm not willing to say, like I've heard a lot over the last couple of days, I am not willing to say that the Bears' defense got better with Clinton Dix over Amos. But I think they made the right decision. And by the way, Bryce Callahan, gone. At least it seems like he's gone. After the Bears signed Buster Skrine, who are we visiting with today? Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos. So if they sign him, there's been a lot of weird rumors, though, about his health, too. But nothing official there. But expect regression with the defense. And I saw some reaction, people upset by saying turnovers are luck. We're going to find out this year, okay? One great season wipes out the memory bank for some people. Let's go back. Going into last season, do you remember the lack of turnovers for the Bears? It was comical. Different coaches. Without Khalil Mack, I get it. But still. So how much is luck? Here's where I've landed on this thing. It's a valid concern. Because you look at some defenses and the personnel does not change much. And sometimes the coaching staff doesn't change at all either. And from year to year, the turnovers fluctuate. Why? We're having a conversation about pressure and interceptions. I don't think that's luck. Kyle Fuller has the ability, even though I don't think it's going to happen, but he has the ability, he just proved it to you, to be at the high end in this league for picks. He just did it with 7, tied for the league high. We know what Khalil Mack is. I don't know if he's going to get 6 more forced fumbles, but as long as the guy's healthy, he's going to have a great season in his prime right now. Eddie Jackson's been a ball hawk. My concern, some of those forced fumbles, where are they going? You have to admit, bounces of that football, there's luck involved. Are they going to go your way instead of going to an offensive lineman on the other team rumbling down the field? There's some luck with fumbles. But as far as interceptions and pressure on the quarterback, and we know what those turn into sometimes, I don't think there's a lot of luck. So I think some of it is valid. But listen, we can talk about did the Bears get incrementally better on defense all day. The likelihood that they did is very small. Can you come close to repeating that? And then we go to the QB. That's what it's all about. Because if you're asking that defense to do that again, you're asking too much. And don't just blame the kicker, okay? You knew that guy couldn't make a kick. He missed 10 during the year. He couldn't make a kick at home. He hits the upright four times at home in a game against the Lions. We knew that issue. They decided to roll him out there again. So don't just blame the kicker. The quarterback has to take a huge step forward. Huge. And I like the addition they made to the offense. The weapon that Matt Nagy's going to have with Cordarrelle Patterson. I think that's a nice weapon. You get him in some space, he's going to cause some damage. He's going to score a couple of touchdowns for you. And there are still kickoff returns in this game. They haven't outlawed it yet. So it's a nice addition. Not great. Not Allen Robinson level. And Robinson also needs to take another step and figure out what you're doing at running back. But all roads, kicker, defense, go back to the quarterback. If he's the same QB, you're not going to the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl window is right now. And I'm not one to say, oh, it's a 5 or 6 year window. You have one of the youngest rosters in the NFL. How quickly things change in this league. No, I'm not buying that one at all. Right now, before you have to pay that guy, because you think you're going to have to pay him, right? That's what this whole thing is about. So he's got to take a step forward. Pat Uptown, you're on 670 The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Yeah, I do, Joe.
What's up, Pat?
I wanted to point out that Clinton Dix is not an upgrade, I wouldn't say, but he's absolutely not a downgrade. Adrian Amos benefited extremely from playing with Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson is the best safety in the NFL. Pro Football Focus never had a safety as rated as high as Eddie Jackson in their existence.
Yeah, but you know how much PFF loves Amos.
They love Amos, but they love Eddie Jackson more. Clinton Dix missed 8 tackles last year, according to Pro Football Focus, and Adrian Amos missed 9. So they do love Amos, and I will give you that. One year they gave him a crazy rating.
It is crazy. But we watched every game and every play of the Bears. Amos is good, but he's not on that elite game-changer level.
No, he's not. And the option for Amos before we got Dix was Deion Bush. He was going to be the alternative, especially after the contract that was offered to Amos. So the situation with Clinton Dix coming in, Eddie Jackson is a great teammate, and he likes, you know, he's really part of this culture, and he has nothing but the highest regard for Clinton Dix. And Clinton Dix bought into what Matt Nagy had to say.
Right.
And it's a one-year deal, and I think it's going to benefit both, you know, Eddie Jackson and the rest of the defense going forward.
Guy's a playmaker. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate you checking in. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Why do banks make banking so incredibly complicated? At Lakeside Bank, they make banking incredibly easy. No hoops to jump through. Our bankers have the experience and authority to get things done fast. They've made banking simple. Join them. Lakeside Bank. It's about time. We go to Vegas next. Oh, the money flowing in on the Cleveland Browns. Unbelievable. Also, what are the bettors saying about the Cubs and White Sox, especially the sharp bettors? We'll check in with a bookmaker out in Las Vegas. He is next. I'm Joe Ostrowski. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We got a deal!
Freaking out in Cleveland. Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. So let's go out to Vegas, find out if they're freaking there about the Browns. My guy Dwayne Colucci from the Rampart Casino out in LV joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, home of the F-150s for $299 per month. Dwayne is on Twitter at NYBookieDwayne, D-U-A-N-E. What's going on, Dwayne?
Same old Joe, you know, living the dream out here in Vegas.
Well, according to all the numbers I saw earlier in the week, after the Odell Beckham trade, you know Kareem Hunt is there. They're surrounding Baker Mayfield in Cleveland with a bunch of talent. It seems like people are running to the window so their money can sit to the side all the way until February because they can't stop betting Browns win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly, Joe. It's amazing. You know, we have such a great Browns following. in Las Vegas the way it is, but now with the additions of Odell Beckham and, you know, Kareem Hunt's there, and Nick Chubb is just a stud, and, you know, you compile that with Baker Mayfield, and definitely now this team is garnering massive attention to win the Super Bowl and, you know, several other wagers, and it's going to be interesting to see how the money flows. And it came in actually before the Beckham move. You know, yeah, we opened them at 30-1 to win the Super Bowl, and they were bet down immediately in the first 3 weeks to 25-1. So now you get the acquisition of Odell, and now they're at 15-1. And, you know, we're at high five-figure loss right now if they win the Super Bowl. I was amazed that the only team that we have a higher liability is the Dallas Cowboys, but we know the Cowboys have a nice following as well. But the Browns are the buzz in Las Vegas right now.
All right, over at the Rampart in South Point, do the odds say that the Browns are the fifth most likely team to win it?
Let me count that, because I do have that for you. I have
the Patriots.
1, 2, 3, 4. About 7 teams that are bet a little lower than them. Yes, Patriots, Saints, Rams, Chiefs. Then we have the Packers and Bears right there as well. And amazingly, the Colts. We did have a large bet that was booked at South Point on the Colts to win. So that's why we had to adjust the line. But right now, they're sitting at 15-1 along with the Cowboys. But right now, yes, the Patriots and Chiefs are the 5-1 favorites to win next year's Super Bowl.
All right, tell me about the odds and how the bets have been coming in on the Bears and Packers.
Well, the Bears are always a solid attraction. You know, the Bears are just, they're hovering. They were right there last year, you know, and it's just going to be interesting to see if they can move forward. You know, it's just it's a lot of pressure on Mitchell Trubisky. We all know that. And if the Bears could just get over that hump, they're right there. Whereas, you know, the Packers, they're just one of those general public teams, like the Cowboys, like the Patriots, that people are going to bet on them regardless. And, you know, we haven't seen the Packers make that big move yet. So it's going to be interesting to see from what's left out of the free agency group and the draft on to how they settle in. You know, I'm not a big believer that Aaron Rodgers could do it by himself. The man is a phenomenal talent, but, you know, he seems to be hard to work with at times, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out with, you know, basically a coach that he could control, you know, and tell what to do, and if Devontae Adams could really carry them, because they need somebody to compliment Adams, definitely. So I don't have much faith in the Packers, whereas I love the Bears defense. I mean, Chicago, you got to be proud. If they, if they could just make that one acquisition, I was hoping that they might have gotten Bell, Le'Veon Bell, and that would have just put them right there. I was surprised that the Bears weren't a little more active, you know, trying to sign him. But, you know, it is what it is, and both teams garner massive interest, especially with the Bears, because they seem to be turning the corner.
Yeah, there was a lot of hope for one day. They were trying to clear out some salary space, and people were hoping they were doing that for Le'Veon Bell, but it was a couple smaller signings so far, so no go there. Switching gears over to baseball, a couple weeks before the season here, how is the money coming in on the Cubs and the Sox? Any future action, win totals one side or the other?
Yeah, well, definitely the Cubs are going to be interesting to see how they go, Joe, if they bounce back this year. You know, we currently are sitting at a total of 88. We opened it at 89.5, and I'm very surprised that the Cubs aren't garnering a little more action on the win total. I believe that Antoine could be at the Rampart and South Point to win it all. You know, they're an interesting team. We're going to see how the pitching F reacts, you know, if Darvish could step up. You know, he's going to be a fifth starter. Big pressure on Chris Bryant this year. Can he get back to that form he had 2 years ago? I mean, I think he's a phenomenal hitter, and I see no reason, if he's healthy, you know, why he can't bounce back right away. And I like the acquisition, even though he's hurt right now, of Descalzo. He's a good utility player, and, you know, he's going to become very important because you have a suspension to Addison Russell to start the season. So the infield is going to be a little mixed around with Baez moving over. And, you know, there's going to be some pressure if Descalzo is ready for opening day. But I don't see why the Cubs can't get right back to where they were, you know. And if Jason Hayward could just hit a little, this team is fine. I mean, you know, if he could just – he's a solid player, and you guys paid a lot of money. So it would be nice to see if this guy could hit, you know. And, you know, Rizzo could hit, and Lesser's a great – you know, he's a possible Hall of Famer.
You need Darvish. You need Darvish to stay healthy and return to form.
Correct. And I said that. That was the first thing I touched upon. And, you know, without the pressure, you know, you do have Hamels and Hendricks to back up Lester. Maybe he could fit right in. The White Sox are kind of interesting. You know, I was pulling up the futures on them, and I'm surprised we did actually take a little action on them as well. They're sitting at only 30-1 to win the whole thing, which is very interesting because we only have a win total set at 73.5.
Yeah.
So I didn't really check the, you know, the exact money, but I know it didn't come in at the Rampart. It must have come in at South Point because the win total is only at 73.5 and we opened it 75.5. So it's like a kind of a contradiction where the sharp guys jumped right on the under on the win total, but yet they're only sitting at about 30-1 to win it all. So South Point must have taken a nice future bet there. And we know they have really good sticks. The whole thing with the White Sox is the pitching. How is this pitching going to come together? You know, Alonso could definitely hit. Abreu could hit. You know, they have some solid outfielders that could get the job done. It's just that pitching staff, you know, definitely going to be interesting to see how Nova is, you know. And
Eloy Jimenez should be up in a few weeks, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and Colomb, if he could get back to closing games like he wanted, you know, Castillo is a good catcher. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the White Sox play. Very tough division because, you know, Cleveland is a big, big favorite. They're 4-1 minus to win that division. The White Sox are sitting at 20-1 to win the division. So I think that their odds will go up to win the World Series. I think we just right now have an unadjusted number, which will be adjusted in the following weeks. But they're about a third choice, Joe. You know, you got the Indians in front of them and the Twins.
Yeah, so, I agree with that.
Lucky.
They're the third best team in that division. Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670. The Score with Dwayne Colucci, bookmaker at the Rampart Casino out in Las Vegas. And Dwayne, in 48 hours, the brackets are going to be set. People are going to be rushing to fill them out and place some bets on some teams for four of the best days on the sports calendar. Are there any teams that, for people that aren't paying a lot of attention throughout much of the year, that when you see the pairings, you should consider writing their name down a couple of times, even though you might not know a lot about them?
Yeah, definitely, Joe. You know, there's teams like Houston University. I mean, they are right on the brink of cracking the top 10, but this is a high-powered team. They're 29-2. You know, they play in the American Athletic Conference, so they don't get a lot of, you know, coverage and publicity. But this is a team that only has two losses on the season, and they're definitely, you know, good. The American Athletic Conference is better than it seems. You know, you have teams like Cincinnati in there, Central Florida. These are teams that have 23 and 25 wins, respectively. So, you know, that's definitely a team that is going to be under the radar. I would like to see Xavier possibly win this game against Villanova.
So would I, Dwayne.
Because, you know, I mean, I think this is a team that could actually, they gelled really late in the season, and they could make some noise, you know. And right now, with about 30 seconds left, they're only trailing by two, and this would be a tough loss because they were up by seven, Joe, with a minute to go. So, you know, I was looking at Xavier myself. You also have a team like Buffalo who also, you know, they have a lot of wins. They're going to get into the tournament. And these are just teams that, you know, they're flying under the radar, but they play good enough.
Are you a Wofford guy?
You know, I'm kind of on the bubble with them, Joe. I got to be honest with you. You know, there's a lot of teams and upsets. two teams in these conference tournaments that if, you know, the Kentuckys and the Tennessees don't come out, you have to add more from the SEC and the Big 12. You know, if that doesn't play out, if Michigan State or Michigan doesn't win, you know, you have another automatic berth. So a team like Wofford could be on the outside looking in. You know, I think that some of these teams are going to be upset and there's going to be automatic bids that burst their bubble.
All right. I know you're a horse racing guy. So before I let you roll out, people are starting to get down on the futures and there's some value right now if you bet on the Derby. Is there anybody I need to watch out, any horses I need to watch out for in the Kentucky Derby?
Well, you know, it's definitely it's going to be interesting after this weekend. This is where we'll definitely get the telling tale of, you know, who is going to be front runner for the Kentucky Derby. Baffert has both of his horses in the Rebel, and it's going to be, you know, interesting to see because they had to change plans drastically because of the problems at Santa Anita.
Right.
You know, I really like the way Heichel ran last week in New York. You know, this was a horse that made up a lot of ground late, and it looks like he could definitely get the distance. So, you know, I respect the trainer. I respect the connections. You know, that was a nice win in the Gotham. I'm sure he'll run in the wood. So, you know, he's an East Coast horse that could definitely make some noise. You know, we definitely know about the Baffert double there. And Game Winner, is he's a battle-tested horse. And, you know, when you win a Breeders' Cup, of course, you get those automatic points, so you're definitely in. So I want to see how he runs this weekend. You know, split divisions of the Rebel. Oaklawn Park had to change the structure because so many horses from the West Coast shipped in. Also, I look at a horse like Gunmetal Gray. I want to see how he runs in the Rebel this weekend because I like Jerry Hollenbacher. I think he's an excellent conditioner. You know, not the Bob Baffert type, but if this guy gets a horse healthy and into shape, he's definitely a horse to watch out. But I would look for Heichel and Gunmetal Gray right now.
All right, we're going to be looking this weekend.
Prices.
Okay, we're going to be looking this weekend, Dwayne. We'll tweet you at NYBookieDwayne and ask you after the weekend. All right, what do you feel like right now? And we'll talk about it before we get to the Derby. Dwayne, thank you so much for jumping on this evening.
Joe, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All right, so you got the lowdown on the money rolling in with the NFL, the Cubs and the Sox, March Madness peak. Take a look at the Kentucky Derby. We touched them all with Dwayne Colucci, bookmaker at the Rampart Casino out in Las Vegas. Coming up next on The Score, I want to get to some of these rule changes. Just, shocking. People freaking out. Baseball fans freaking out about some possible rule changes and some that are on the way. Get to that next. I'm Joe Ostrowski in for Lawrence Holmes. You've got 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.